Elder Sensei, one half the Legendary Crew Artifacts, Sadat X, one from the Legendary Group, Brandubian, have come together for a new project, another incredible album, titled XL. They joined me today in the library. Thank you for joining me, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So when did this collaboration has been in the works for a few, but when did the actual, like, when did you know that this was going to happen?
2011, early in that year. We was hanging out actually at a Pete Rock and Smith & Wesson's album release party. And we was outside talking, and our friends were standing there, and we just, you know, normal conversation. And they said, y'all ever thought about doing a record together? And we just looked at each other like, we never thought of that. I mean, we gathered up a couple of beats. One joint happened, and another one, and then we just kept going.
Was the assumption that it was going to, I mean, did you guys know it would work? Or, like, I mean, was that, you knew that there was going to be chemistry there, or?
Well, we've known each other for a long time, so I knew that if done right, something could be made of it. You know, I knew that it was something that could work. You know, like, I knew that once we sat down and really started working on it, I had an idea that it would be pretty good.
Word up. And just me being a fan of Sadat, you know, likewise, knowing his music, and if you listen to Brandubian music and you listen to Artifacts music, it's in the same vein. You know, me and Tame got our start, you know, rocking with them, you know, so it's like only right and fitting that, you know, once we got into doing it, it made a lot more sense than we just a suggestion.
Obviously, as mentioned, Brandubian, Artifacts, and as you just mentioned, fans of each other. First, L, do you remember the first song you heard from Sadat that kind of like said this guy's like everybody else?
You know, we actually saw the Feel So Good video. We didn't even hear the song first. We saw the video. And I called Tame. I said, you watching this video? He said, what video? I said, turn to the box. Because everybody had the box.
Right.
So everybody was requesting the video. So we saw this video like every day, all day. So we just was bugging because we were like, okay, they not from Brooklyn. They not from Manhattan. They not from Queens. They from, you know, past Mount Vernon and New Rochelle. So we were like, okay, what's going on in New Rochelle that we don't know about? And just by the way they were dressing and the music and the just, we knew Grand Pooba, but we was like, who are these two dudes with Pooba? So, you know, I gravitated from that. And then the album came out and I was stuck.
Right.
And we went to New York and met them on 125th State Building. It was a big concert going on and we was in the crowd. We knew all the words to the songs. And we just, like, you know, saw them standing there. And we just like, look, we Tame One, Elder Sensei, da-da-da-da. And
nice.
We here today.
And Sadat, for you, the first track you heard from Artifacts.
Probably might have been demos at first. I think I probably first off the rip heard demos before they even put anything out like that. And because I remember they was coming up to New Rochelle sometimes, and me and Jamal had some equipment, and we just throw around ideas and play around with stuff like that. And then they came with Wrong Side of the Tracks and stuff like that. But I remember hearing some demo stuff at first.
And we actually recorded Wrong Side in X's crib in the basement in the room. So, you know, Jamar did the original Wrong Side of the Tracks song. He did the beat. He wrote the hook. He was standing there with me and Tame. He said, look, what y'all want to do? Right. How y'all want to start out? He's like, well, we kind of had an idea, but then he's like, well, y'all talk about graffiti. Why don't y'all make a song about that? And we was like, hey, okay. We wrote the verses right there. The record didn't sound like how it sounds now. And we couldn't clear the sample. So that was the only reason why Jamar couldn't get the producer credit. And we had to switch the beat and then we had to change the hook. But the hook that I'm saying is the hook that Jamar wrote for the song.
I speak of Wrong Side of the Tracks, like you mentioned, it's about graffiti. And you recently did a track with Shabam Shadiq, but also Graffiti of the World, right? These are two tracks that are about graffiti, different times, obviously.
Right.
For both of you, actually, why talk about graffiti now? What's the importance of it to you now from when you first talked about it to now? Yeah.
Well, graph has always been an intricate part of hip-hop. You know, it was kind of the scriptures and the messages in the streets from certain artists and even MCs like, say, Lost Professor, KRS-One, Fat Joe, and Master Ace. You know, these dudes, you know, got the bug too. So I think with, you know, me and Tame, just like Jamar said, you know, it wasn't nobody talking about graffiti at all, you know, at the time when he asked us to do that. And even the platform we ran on was the elements of hip-hop, whether if it's 4 or 5.
Right.
You know, but graph is like a main fit in hip hop, where it's like you put that before beatboxing, of course. Mm. You put that even before DJing, of course, because it's a worldwide thing still to this day. Is a strong marketing tool, and you know, it was only right that's what we do. Yeah. So it was only right to do it.
Is it not for you? I mean, what's the importance of graffiti?
I mean, like you said, it's one of the elements of hip hop. I mean, being that I'm originally from the Bronx, I always seen graffiti all over the places, and you know, it's always been tied in with hip hop. You can't say hip hop without graffiti. So you know, that's basically how I saw it. And like you said, they were the first people that I know of that were actually connecting the graffiti as far as putting it into lyrics into hip hop. You know, it was always around hip hop, but they just put it into the lyric wise.
Before we talk about the album XL, it's another question. You talk to comedians, right? Comedians always have like a comedian. It's like, you know, the person that you might not know, who might not be popular, and might even see have an HBO special, but or Netflix special. But you just kind of someone that has inspired you to no end, and maybe just like really popular within the community. Do you guys have that? I mean, is there like an MC for you, L, and for you, Sadat, that maybe no one really knows about, or you know, people know about, but is not, you know, played on the box, not played on MTV, you know, not getting the now 2018 those YouTube hits?
I would have to say for me, it probably would be Grandmaster Caz. Like people know of him, but people don't know of him. You know what I mean? It's like the hip hop purists, they know of him, but a lot of these kids, they don't really know of him, and they don't really know the influence that he's had on hip hop and on the art of MCing.
Right.
If there was no Grandmaster Caz, there might be no Sadat X. Different styles that he brought to the game, and just the way he attacked the mic and the way his presence, you know, like it more people should know about him. I mean, and he's happy. He's satisfied with what he's doing, and that's cool. And you know, people, like I said, like purists know a Grandmaster Caz. You know what I'm saying? But like, if people don't, I don't think people sometimes have a realization of the impact that he's had on hip hop. Like, without, if there was no Grandmaster Caz in hip hop, and it was still today, it would be much different than it is now. Mm.
I agree with that, because even with him coming from a group, you know, the cadences and the rhyme forms they use. And for me, even I go a little bit further, like I like odd dudes like Chubb Rock, you know.
One of the best voices in hip-hop.
Yes, best voices, best flow, you know. And this is like 89 Chubb, you know.
Right.
And this is like before Treat 'Em Right and everything. So I dudes like him, Special Ed, and I say Ed in the same vein as him, because Howie T gave them the soundscape for what they were trying to do, and it was like upgraded a little bit from everybody else's stuff. So like Ed gave me an understanding of what it was to change your flow in songs, and that I can get that from Buckshot too. So a lot of dudes that do these things, you know, Buster at times, I can't even understand how he would fit his fix his mouth to say certain things that's right. Coming out. I'm like, well, how the hell did he fit that in there? Like, so it's for me, I look at MCs like wide receivers in football. Right. You know, I was a Jerry Rice fan back in the day, and I just like the fact that he can go on the field, don't get dirty, still be nice with it, got his towel hanging out. That's like wide receivers. So I understand what you're saying when you say MC's MC. Somebody do something that you're not doing, and then you figure, like, damn, I wouldn't even have thought of that.
L, during an interview about XL, you said, we try to set trends rather than follow. That keeps the fans inspired. We still love it. It's also a job. Gotta love what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question for both of you. Was there ever a time throughout this journey that you fell out of love with the music?
No.
Or fell out of love?
No. It's been times when maybe it's been a little struggle or been hard, but I've never, like a lot of dudes, like they say they stopped for a minute and then they came back again. Like I've never not loved it. You know, it's been a struggle at times, but it's never been a struggle to make me be like, I don't want to do this no more. I hate it, or like that. Like a lot of rappers, you know, they fall into that funk. Like, I don't want to do nothing for the next year or two. Like, it's never been like that for me.
And I think with X, you know, he's a multifaceted dude. You know what I'm saying? Well, you don't have to do the rhyme thing all the time, and you have intelligence enough to go into a whole nother field, say being a teacher.
Right, right.
Not a dude can't say that. You know, and for me, I never want to stop doing it because I love it so much. You have this thing inside of you. When you see everybody else doing it, you're like, no, I have to get it popping right now. So, you know, and we both the same sign, Capricorn. You always trying to climb this mountain. You have no reason to stop climbing the mountain. You see some pictures of ghosts, they hanging on the side of the mountain on their teeth.
They're so
determined to get to where they need to be. You know, it's not a workaholic thing, but it's just the fact that you don't want to be forgotten. You want to show that you have skill. You want to show that you're adaptable to the times. And a lot of times when a lot of guys I know and they say they want to stop, it's because they're not active enough.
Right.
Not used to being in the studio a lot, not being on stage. When it's like that, that's a real struggle. Because if you haven't done it for a while and you try to jump back into it, it's like riding a bike. You might, you know, wobble a little bit, but you get the hang of it. But for us, you know, a lot of dudes ask, how do y'all, you know, you go on tour? Dudes like, hey, you know, is this all you do? I'm like, yeah, this is work, bro. Like, when you see me posting stuff on Instagram and you see us on tour and you start seeing the flyers, that's the work part we put in beforehand. And people think that's somebody else doing that. And that's all us.